Next speaker, Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, needs no introduction. He comes here tonight after himself giving a shiur for one reason. He wants to give us a message. We look forward to hearing that message. Rabbi Schoenfeld.
First of all, I owe you an apology for coming late. Actually, I wasn't late. I came in the 7 o'clock. As you heard, I had a shiur until about 9:30, and I just rushed over as soon as I possibly could. So I missed the opportunity of hearing both Rabbi Welch and Rabbi Rees and the other presenters. I want to say just in passing that Rabbi Rees, as you probably have been told by now, is the midnight, so to speak, of the RCA Besdin, with which I've been associated for the last 35 years. So I have a right to speak for the elderly. And Rabbi Rees has been a great, great asset to many of us in the community. And I want to tell him now, there's a board meeting tomorrow of the Besdin, but may not get there already. I don't see my role here tonight to discuss halachic rulings, as Rabbi Wilshid is eloquently and scholarly fashion, but to speak to you simply from experience. A rabbi's experience in dealing for decades with the problem of the elderly and children, and obviously we cannot solve any problems here tonight, not touch upon every point, but just some kind of a guideline. It so happened that this afternoon somebody came to see me from our shul, whose brother is in Florida, quite ill, hopes of fruition in him, and the family's already talking about what will be when. And there's friction in the family because of a will that supposedly existed, nobody could find, and at this time of stress in the family, the last thing they want to discuss is money, but there is a sister-in-law there who insists. So he came to see me and asked me what to do. We had to tell the story of this old man who was dying, and doctor said it'll take any minute now. And the sons get together and the children, they say, well, where should we bury Pop, you know? He said, Beth David is a fine cemetery. That's too far. Well, how about Wellwood? Yeah, maybe. One son said, how about Bethesda Woods in Jersey?
Maybe.
They weren't sure. So one says, well, let's ask Papa what he wants. And his old man never hulchins himself. He says, Bob, where do you want to be buried? Yom Zain says, surprise me. He says, so you don't want to be surprised, both as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, or as children. So I want to give you one or two illustrations of what we have come across in our pastoral life, so to speak. First of all, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham. Those of you who are from our community in our shul know that I hardly miss the opportunity to speak about the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham. It is the greatest and the most noble mitzvah, without denigrating from other mitzvahs, that we are called upon to perform. Kavod is a bichavos imecho. Man yarichin yamecha. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be lengthened. Philo, who was a contemporary of our Chachamim, he was not part of the rabbinic circle in Alexandria, Egypt, but he was acknowledged by the Chachamim as a great and sage and wise man. So here's a commentary on the Chumash in which he says, just a minute, why do we have to have the mitzvah kibbutz avraham? So that you should live longer. But that's not what is meant. It should say, so that their lives may be longer. Honor your parents, so their lives may be more enduring. That's the question they ask. To which Rav Belkin, Rosh Yeshiva of YU, who was himself a great philo scholar, said, means the following. If you understand how to treat your parents, especially elderly parents, then your society will endure. If you want to have a meaningful, long-lasting, enduring society, that practice the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. You know, the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em is a difficult mitzvah. The Chachamim discuss it in more Kiddushin, you'll know the sources, the Lamed, Lamed Aleph, etc. And it's one of the very, very few places, I think they're all together, two in Shas, but one of the very few where they ask the question, Ad Hechen, how much do you have to do for payments? Maybe it's not enough. And maybe the time has come to find somebody else to take care of them. And the Gemara does not answer the question. The Gemara gives you a long list of incidents or stories, of examples that were said. And if you emulate those, we will know what we have to do. Because this mitzvah is fundamental to any life at all, meaningful life. And we judge people in the manner in which they look after their parents. There's some people here tonight, they know that I know what they did for their parents. Unless we have the proper understanding of Kibbud Av V'Em, not just halachically. Halachically, Rabbi Welch, I think, touched upon this. If you find that the burden is too much, you can't do this any longer, then the halach is very clear, both in Gemara and in Yoradeh. Then appoint somebody else. You're allowed to leave them, and as long as somebody takes care of them. Which normally is translated into the nursing home situation. So I want to speak a few minutes about nursing homes and the rightness or the wrongness of placing parents in a home. There are times when it becomes impossible to do it. Not because of your own convenience, because you don't give the kind of care which they need, specialized care which they need. Now we have a number of people in the community whose parents were in nursing homes, are in nursing homes, and the children, especially the daughters, are there day and night. And believe me, there's a good reason for it. Because in the best hospitals and in the best nursing homes, there's some doctors in the audience, I'm sure they'll agree with me, there's not a kind of care that you have to give. Just watching medication, they come around the hospital wards and the rooms and take up pills, and how often does it happen that the patient gets the wrong pill? And unless somebody's there to watch the doctors or the nurses, what kind of pill they give them, a lot of trouble can be the result. So in of itself, parents should be kept out of nursing homes as long as it is humanly possible. And I'll tell you from my experience. Some of you may know that my father, Zuchan Levrocha, was afflicted with Alzheimer's for 12 years. And my brother, who's on the staff of Mount Sinai, internal medicine, not that he needs advertising for me, but he's an eminent cardiologist specializing in diabetes, knows everybody in Mount Sinai. So we placed my father in the hospital because he was quite sick at the time. And I went to one of these seminars like earlier tonight. And there's a geriatric psychiatrist who spoke about Alzheimer's. And he said, Alzheimer's patients last from 3 to 4 to 5 years at the most. At that point, I said to him, and my father has been suffering for 11 years at that time. He said, is he in a nursing home? I said, no. He said, that's why he's still around. I said. Now, this is not an indictment of nursing homes. But the avira, the atmosphere, in care given at home, properly given at home, cannot equal that of a nursing home. Now, I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody who has parents in a nursing home. Because Allah says, if you cannot, the parents will suffer. You cannot administer the medication or the treatment which they need, the therapy which they need. But obviously, and nobody should have a guilty conscience because parents are in a nursing home. But I would say that as long as it is humanly possible, without disrupting family life too much, they should be kept at home, their own apartments, or if need be, in one's own home. That's a very important point to bear in mind, both. There's nothing wrong with nursing homes if it is done because there is no other way out. And it's to the detriment of parents if you do not. On the other hand, if it's for the convenience, it can't be bothered, you know, go visit Pop every Sunday. So we have to strike a balance here. And I can tell you this, that in those homes, Jewish homes, where the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em is observed out of love and out of the feeling of a mitzvah, parents who are ailing, who are old, elderly, certainly are much better off than there would be in any kind of institution. You know, Rav Soloveitchik once said, speaking of the parsha of Kedoshim, Kedoshim and Vayikram, we have the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you, you shall be sacred, holy, whatever the word may mean. And it says, Ish ima ve'aviv tiro, every man should fear his father, his mother, fear, respect. Ve'shabsasa tishmar and observe Shabbos. So Rashi really says, what's the connection between Shabbos and taking care of our parents? Well, Rashi has his own explanation. Observations are the following. There is a common denominator between Shabbos and taking care of parents. And what is that common denominator? He said Shabbos has two aspects. There's a logical aspect of Shabbos. It's a day of rest. What was it? You learned in Medrash recently, when Moshe said to Paro, how was he able to get Paro to suspend his labor camps on Shabbos? Moshe said to Paro, listen, you're going to work these people to death. They need a day off. He said, okay, which day do you want? He says, tomorrow is the Friday, Shabbos. There's an aspect of Shabbos which is perfectly understandable, logically understandable. The ox has to rest, the donkey has to rest, the car has to rest. That's, everybody understands this. But then there is also an aspect of Shabbos which is purely spiritual, Shmira Shabbos. Yesh Shemayim V'Oretz, God created the world. Now let's go to Kibbutz Av Em Sof Rav Soloveitchik. When parents are well, they're elderly. But, Ma, I'll do the shopping for you. No, please don't. No. I'm going out anyway, doing the shopping for you. Great. Pa, you have to go to see your doctor tomorrow. It's a long way out, come and pick you up. No, don't bother, I'll pick you up. Wonderful. Ma, today's Mother's Day, it's Father's Day, it's your birthday. Come to the house, come to us for Shabbos, for Pesach. How can you come to us for Pesach? That's normal. But what do we do when father and mother are sick and you can't do this anymore? And the father begins to talk nonsense and the mother begins to have all kinds of illnesses and they really become a problem. Then the Torah says, just like Shabbos has a logical aspect and a spiritual aspect, so let's keep it up there. When things are fine, great. The mitzvah kicks in when things are not fine. And it is a great burden, and I know wherever I speak, and so do you. So I wanted to make this absolutely clear that nursing home situations are not neglect of parents or negligence. But you cannot compare it to home care. And there are many people who really struggled to keep the parents at home. When my father wasn't well, and it was actually 14 years, I had a talk with some of the legislators about Medicare and hospital supplies and nursing home supplies and medical supplies and services. You know, though, I'm sure somebody discussed the law with you. If you have even a couple of $1,000 in the bank someplace, the government will not pay for it beyond a certain time. So I discussed it with one of the legislators. The government would be much better off in paying a certain amount of money in Social Security, or if Social Security would include home care for elderly patients. You wouldn't have to pay on a per diem basis to the nursing homes and all the expenses that's involved. And that is being proposed now, as a matter of fact, by Nita Loyal, Congresswoman. She's working on this at the present time. That's the first point I want to make about nursing home situation. But then we come about, to speak about the wills, and we'll run through this way quickly. We know what the halacha is. And I've had many cases where the frum people, religious people, who passed on, there was no will. Religious people don't write wills. They write the will about who should get the tefillin and who should get the leichter, this sort of thing. But very few religious people write wills. So the sons come. In this case happened to somebody in Brooklyn. Father left an apartment house with his income. There were three sons and two daughters. And one of the sons is a rav, son of Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, it's very simple. The Torah says, the Bechor Pishnayim, and only the sons inherit, the sisters get nothing. And they came to me, and they said to this particular rav, rabbi, whatever, Hasidic person, well, how do you make such a statement? Well, that's the law of the Chumash. I said, yes, but Chazal also allowed to make a will, which is saying that I want to apportion so much to my daughter. So it isn't that seriously. Now that family, luckily the girls, the daughters, are smart and decent people. So was he, but he's a halacha. Big mistake to rely upon the Bechor, not the Pishnaim, the halacha establishes it, but halacha does not forbid us to write a will during our lifetime, which we know this problem may come up, and therefore make the proper wills. I'll tell you what my wife and I did. Reached a certain age, we went to a lawyer who was highly recommended to write our wills, and then he said to us, you know, whenever the time comes, the death taxes. But you want to spare your children of paying the government the estate taxes and lose much, whatever there is. And so he told us that you can buy insurance, and we did. Whereby the insurance will pay to the government the taxes and leave whatever money is left or homes or property to the children intact. I don't know if anybody covered this here tonight.
No.
But that's very, very important, and we did this. We have my wife took out insurance, I think with John Hancock Company or Metropolitan, which it is, whereby we pay, it's a premium you pay, it's a fairly hefty premium, but then there will be no problem for the children when it comes to paying estate taxes. That's a very important point to bear in mind. And halakhically, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with this. The other point I want to make, because it's getting late, there are two life cycle events. Well, we rabbis, I'm sure Rabbi Reis and Rabbi Wirtz will tell you, see the tragedy of family machlokas. That's at weddings and levayas. At weddings, Rabbi, my brother's sister is making a wedding. She didn't send an invitation. That's a real case that we had. Why not? Well, we've had a fight about our father's Yerusha. We think she took more than she's entitled to. Finally, the invitation was sent, and this other lady who complained to me, didn't show up. Anyway, she was blighted because the invitation came a week later than everybody else. So under the time of a chuppah, there should not be any machlokes. But they'll say to me, Rabbi, my uncle, or my brother-in-law, a broche, a nechtigator. No, never mind. I don't think want to see me at the wedding. Then ishtogel of levayas, I get it more often. Rabbi, when you say something about my sister, my brother, because they were wonderful to my mother. But the other brother never showed up. This was touched upon before. It's a terrible feeling that you have. That at the time of joy, of a sochem, and of unhappiness, that these machlokas features come to the fore. And you have to deal with it on the spot. You come to a levaya, ishtogel of Rahmanul Islam, to try and make shalom, that's much too late. And I think what we have to do as Rabbanim and as Balabatim, wherever there is the Sela Machlokas, any kind of Machlokas, and most of it's about money, to stop it in its track. Because that children suffer, and family suffers, this goes from generation to generation. It becomes a feud like the ancient feuds in the American Midwest. So I would say the following. In taking care of the parents, we have to remember, give it up for him. There is no substitute for it. Give it up for him is the basis of all life, but especially for Torah life. And the nursing home situation, as I said again, no rabbi will tell a congregant, keep the parent home. What we will say is, if you've exhausted all possibilities, if you've had no other way out, and you feel medically that it's advisable to put that parent, I hate to use the way, but place them in a facility, sounds better. And then by all means, halacha allows it, but in most cases, I must tell you, in addition to the nursing homes, the children are there, especially the daughters, mamish day and night, and make sure they get the right treatment. So I don't want to have anybody have a guilt trip if they have parents in the nursing home. The other end, you should try and keep them, because that keeps them. I'll tell you a cute little story that happened again with my father. My father started getting, he saw the signs and the disease was progressing. So my brother consulted the geriatric psychiatrist at Mount Sinai Hospital, the chief of geriatric services. And he came to see my father, and Jewish man, and I was in the room. He said to me, Rabbi, do you mind leaving the room? I said, why? I have to speak to your father privately. I have to, you know, as a psychiatrist. I said, you speak Yiddish? He said, no. Your father speaks English. Until you got sick, you did. Your father spoke English, perfect English. But as the disease progressed, his Yiddish came up and the English disappeared. He said, unless you can communicate with him, well, so I will help you. He said, no. I'm the expert, so to speak. I know what I'm doing. He spoke to my father. Of course, got no response. He spoke English. My father spoke Yiddish. About 10, 20 minutes comes out. I couldn't get any information from your father. I said, I told you that. All right, let me call your brother, my brother. I'm in my brother's office. Invites his legs at the same time. And the brother doesn't answer the phone. He said it couldn't be. I know he's in his office because I spoke to him just 10 minutes ago. What is his number again? I gave him the number. Parents, then I took one look. But it did was there were two or three phones on the desk. Picked up the receiver of one and dialed the other phone. I said, doctor, this, of course you can get one. Oh, yes, yes, I did. Didn't I make this mistake? I'm not making fun of genetic psychiatrists, the story they tell of this man who couldn't go to sleep. There's an old man, he couldn't sleep. So they take him to the doctor, Gunnish Gehoff. Finally, somebody said, how about the psychiatrist? Okay, they take him to the psychiatrist. He's last night on the couch. After half an hour, the psychiatrist comes out to the children. Your father is asleep. Right. They walk in and he says, the Meshigal of Mahdu is in it. It's a story, but there's a lot of truth to this. So just please remember, I repeat it again, no guilt trips, nothing else. The other hand, as long as you can take care of them. And there is one other aspect to this with finish. That's grandchildren. I find, in my experience, I'm sure the other rabbis do too. You know, I have the luxury of being a Sadi Kedushin at many weddings of our shul. People I don't know are not the Sadi Kedushin. I've been looking for it, and there's a problem with Yechis, who are they? So I can be a big knock, a big shock. I limit myself to this. I get the finest children on the show. Go to yeshiva, go to yeshivas. So you take down the names of the Ksuba and the other information which the RC doesn't require. I said, what's your mother's father's name? Oh, Henry. He said, I don't know. What's his Jewish name? I don't know. Your mother's mother. Oh, we call her Bobby Brooklyn. She's in Brooklyn. Bobby Brooklyn, right? Children do not very often know the Hebrew Jewish names of their grandparents, because there has to be this connection between children and grandchildren. As great as the mitzvah Kibbutz Alf Em is, we have to raise our children not just to respect, but be with the grandparents as much as possible. And grandparents have the same obligation to be with the children as much as possible, even being self-helping out with money and with paying tuition. That gap in between sometimes it's too big. And grandparents and grandchildren have to become, when they're well, especially, they've been good to them, to foster this relationship, grandparents and grandchildren. What did Yaakov Avinu say when he saw Yosef? In the Rosh Penecha Lo Falalti, I didn't even hope to see you. The Ato Herod Hashem Oisei, God showed me to your children. So the Farshim say, Herod Hashem Oisei, I see, showed me to your children, because this is what I look like. Rav Hirsch, the Tzadik Levracha, before he was Nifter, his Yotzeh was last week, Chof Zayin Tevis, I think it was, spent the last few days of his life in a small town in Germany called Königstein, and he knew he was dying, and he asked for his grandchildren to come and see him. And they came, and he said the following. I said in German, it's easy German, or bad Yiddish, to which you look at it. And he said, schaut mich gut an, look at me well, dass ihr mich nicht vergesst. Look, take a good look at me, your grandfather, you should not forget it. And this gap has to be closed. And so even among religious people, we find very often, Bobby, Zaidi, that relationship has to be strengthened, has to be fostered. These are some of the things I wanted to share with you because we deal with them every single day. But at Zikna Nihud, you know, as Rabbi Rosh said, when Zikna comes, Atashnechenu Lei Zikna does not mean do not make us suffer old age, but do not throw us, the children, Lei Zikna, with the parents, and unto the parents when they're old. This has to be fasted from day one. And if you know of any machlekes in family situations, do all that you can to straighten things out before the wedding and the after, before the divorce. That it is so corrosive, it is so destructive of future relationships that I cannot speak about it yet. But anyway, let's hope that we become Zakenim and Zakenos, and the city is still in the Chutzas Yerushalayim, called Sosim Kal Simcha, and all the other cities. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. It's now 10:15, and everybody here is so lucky to have had the opportunity of getting the hadracha from the Rabbanim here that I can only say thank you very, very much. And thank you all for being here.